Thank you, Marty. I appreciate that. I loved those choruses this morning. They were wonderful, just wonderful. And young man, back on the sound, we've done this before, but can you tell me what your name is?
Adrian.
Adrian and Marty, let's give them a hand for the work that they do. I think it's awesome. It's just awesome. I think it's wonderful. Thank you very, very much. Thank you very much. Well, it's great to be back here once again with you today. And this is the Lord's Day, of course. How many, if anyone, has been watching the Special Olympics? Anybody been watching them? They're wonderful. They are just amazing. I watched some young people the other night playing volleyball sitting down. Have you ever heard of that? Some of the players, they all had disabilities, but some of the players didn't have legs. Or maybe they just had one leg, or they just had one arm. So they played it sitting down. And those that had two legs, they sat down as well. And nobody was allowed to get up. And it was just fantastic to watch them. I thought it was great. And we just pray that the Lord bless them over there at the time that they're spending. I think it's wonderful. I really do. Let's have a word of prayer together. Gracious Heavenly Father, once again, as we come into your presence, we do so with thanksgiving in our hearts. We do so with shouts on our lips to give you praise, to give you glory, honor, that certainly do your name. We thank you so much for Calvary. We thank you for the gift of salvation through the shed blood. We thank you for taking our suffering, taking our pain, our shame, and disgrace, and bearing it on yourself, and taking our sin, and taking it as far as the east is from the west. Lord, we are so grateful. We are so grateful. I thank you for each person that's here. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to bring your word. I thank you for people that are traveling today. Lord, I'm sure the highways are going to be very busy. So we just ask your blessing on this service today, that the words that are spoken, Lord, that they may be your words, and you may be blessed. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is a little bit different for me this morning because I'm going to use a scripture that quite often you hear when you go to a funeral. Now, I'm not going to any funerals today, but it's one that you hear quite often. And so I thought that this would be a good time for us to have a peek at that. And if you have a Bible with you, would you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. John 14, verses 1 through 6. And Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas said, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Now, I have a question for you. And I'm sure that you can answer it for me. How many have had young people, in a car going on a trip somewhere? Have you? Young people in a car going on a trip somewhere. After you've been in the car for about an hour or so, what is the first question they ask you? Are we there yet? That's right. And that's what I've entitled this message. Are we there yet? My brother Ray told me one time that there was a police officer friend of his up in Bracebridge, And he had a very young family, and he was taking them, and he and his wife decided they were going to go and see the Atlantic Ocean. So they were heading towards the East Coast. Well, after they left Bracebridge and they were on the road for about an hour or so, the children drove them so crazy with "Are we there yet?" that they turned and went to Picton and they drove into the sandbanks and said, "Here we are, kids." And apparently the kids never knew any different. You know, you can't see the other side. It looks like the ocean, that big long beach. But anyway, I think we've all experienced that. But this scripture, I think, is one of the best invitations that the Lord has given to his disciples, and also a good invitation for you and me, asking us to believe, not only to believe, but to trust. And you know, a lot of people can believe. We all know that we believe in God, right? Satan believes in God, doesn't he? He knows that he's there. And so we have to learn not only to believe, but we have to learn to trust. And sometimes that can be a big chore. But anyway, I know there are many people in this old world that we just can't trust, or that we don't want to follow because of being kind of leery of where we might be led. But nonetheless, we're out with Jesus because we know that he is the great creator. We know that he is the one who cares for you and for me. In this first verse, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Do you ever think about that? When you go to a funeral and you hear somebody say, "Let not your heart be troubled." That's kind of hard sometimes for some people, especially if they don't know the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. That can be very hard. "Let not your heart be troubled." So let's face it, if we look at it today, there are many, if not millions, of people in our old world today that have troubles. We were just singing it a few minutes ago. When we get older, we will have troubles. Not necessarily when we get older. All through our life, we will have troubles. There could be troubles for many different reasons. Maybe for lack of work. Maybe the work could even be the problem. I don't know. And it could be family matters. It could be health situations. It could be, I'm going to say this, church problems, because churches today have a lot of problems. They do, and so do we. Maybe even a death in the family. And these are all situations, and these are all matters that have a tendency to pull people down. And I don't know whether anybody here today has things on their mind that during the week, or whatever the case may be, kind of pulls us down a little bit. I know I do. And that's the time that we have to just turn our hearts back to the Lord and say, "We need help. We need help." The nice thing about it is that we don't know other people's problems, but you know the Heavenly Father does. And he knows your problems. He knows my problems. And the best thing about that is that it matters to him. It matters to Jesus about our problems. And he said that he would be there with us at all times. He's saying to you and to me, he's saying, "You believe in God? We can't see him, you and me. We believe in God?" Then Jesus is saying, "Believe in me also. Believe in me the same as how we believe in God." Then in verse 2, it goes on and it says, just a little bit about heaven here. It says that in my Father's house are many mansions. Now that's from the King James Version, and I'm reading my scripture from King James. Do you use the King James or the NIV? Mostly. The New King James? Yeah? That's good. That's okay, so we can kind of blend these words together. In my Father's house, it says in King James, are many mansions. And in the same verse, in the NIV, it says there are many rooms. And you know, truthfully, for me personally, I really don't care whether it's a mansion or whether it's a room. I've always had this thing in my mind, living the lifestyle that I used to live, that whenever I got to heaven, the Lord was going to take me down this row of all these mansions that are on the side, big, beautiful mansions, you know, that we talked about. Because I was brought up with the King James Version. And as we got down to the end of the street, there's this little tar paper shack. And I said, whose is that? And he said, that's yours. And you know, I don't care if it's a tar paper shack, as long as I'm with the Lord Jesus. I don't care. But nonetheless, that was always in my mind that I was going to get the little tar paper shack at the end of the street. But anyway, we are truly blessed. We have a permanent residence there because we love the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's part of our life. It's a permanent residence. You know, I've often said this song, and I think from this platform as well, that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. You know, the angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this old world anymore. And we all have homes. We all like our homes. We all like to keep our homes as neat as we can, don't we? And I think it's going to be beautiful in heaven. I really do. And as we drive around in our car, we see all these great, big, huge, beautiful homes. And we say to ourselves, man, they've either got a lot of money or they're really deep in debt, one or the other. Because the homes are so big. And you know, you look at them and they're beautifully manicured and the nice flower beds. And then you look at all the windows that are in the house that have to be cleaned. And I look back at all that grass that has to be cut, and I think, not a chance. Not a chance. I don't want that. That's just too much like work. I'll keep our little place is what I'll do. In my Father's house, he says, are many rooms. Rooms for everybody who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus. There's going to be lots of room. Lots of room. And I suppose if we get to heaven and I have to cut grass, that's what I'll do. But if I don't have to, that's even better. But anyway, we need to trust him. We do. He wouldn't tell us this if it weren't so, because being Jesus Christ, he can't lie. He was the perfect, he was the spotless Son of God. He cannot lie. Jesus went to Calvary and he laid down his life for you and for me, and he died. He shed that precious blood. He was buried. And we know that he rose again on the third day. He rose that third day. That when he was on the cross, he took our sins and he buried them. When he rose from the grave the third day, I believe that was guaranteeing you and me eternal life. That's what I believe, eternal life. And if it were not so, he says, I would have told you. Our Heavenly Father, who created this vast universe that we live in, this wonderful creation with all its beautiful colors, the rivers, the mountains, the trees, the flowers, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that we need to sustain us, everything, he created. He created for us. And I'm thinking, you know, when we're talking just a little bit about heaven here, where we say that heaven is going to be a beautiful place, I think I'd like to read just a little bit for you. And I know you know this scripture, and you probably know it very, very well. But I'm going to read just a couple of verses, if you don't mind, from the book of Revelation. And it's Revelation chapter 21, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 is what I'm going to read. And it says this, talking about heaven. Then I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there were no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying, or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. You know, he's going to wipe away every tear from our eye. I know a lot of you here remember Myrtle Broadworth. Whenever the scripture came up, she'd say to me, Ross, she said, it says there's not going to be any more tears in heaven. But she says, I bet there will be. I said, really, Myrtle? Yep. She said, there'll be tears of joy, she said. And God can wipe them away too. And I thought that was wonderful. She was a special lady. She was really a special lady. Loved her very, very much. But he's gone to prepare a place for we who are prepared to meet him. He is. Here, now we're going to go to verse 3, refers to a time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back again and to meet us in the air, when we will be changed. We will be changed, and he will take us. He will be our Lord and our Savior. He will take us home to heaven. Listen to these words. Another funeral piece I'm going to read to you here, and it's from the book of Thessalonians, and it says this. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, or I would not have you to be confused, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, or those who have gone on before, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For I believe that Jesus died and he rose, even so then also those also who sleep in Jesus will he bring with them. For this we say unto you by the words of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And that's what he's telling us. He's coming back, and he's going to meet us in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then it says, wherefore, comfort each other with these words. If I go to prepare a place for you, he says, I will come again. He will come again. His desire is to have all those who have made the Lord king of their lives to be with him. And we will be with him for all of eternity. He was going to heaven, and they did know the way, because the Lord Jesus had told his disciples many times. He told them the way. And apparently poor Thomas didn't really understand the meaning of those words. Maybe he thought it was like Peter, that they were going to go and take a journey somewhere here on earth. But the Lord Jesus had other plans. This loving verse is the last verse. And it says, makes it very clear that the Lord Jesus Christ is himself the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to heaven but by him. He does not merely show us the way. He is the way. He is the way. Salvation is in a person. It's not just something to be grasped out of the air. It's in a person. Christianity is Christ. Christianity is Christ living in you and in me. The Lord Jesus is not just one of many ways. He is the only way. And Jesus says, no one comes to the Father. I have a little bit of a story here for you. And it goes like this. It says, after serving for many years in Africa, a missionary couple was returning to the United States to retire. They had no pension. They had failing health and were very discouraged. And it happened that they happened to be on the same ship as the former president, Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from one of his hunting trips in Africa. As they were gathered on the ship, the one day, no one paid any attention whatsoever to the missionary couple. Everyone's eyes were focused on the president. During their voyage, the missionary said to his wife, "Something's wrong. We have been given our lives in service to God all these years, and now no one cares. No one pays any attention." But the president returned from his hunting trip, and that's all the people can talk about. When the ship docked in New York, the band was playing. They were even known on the newspaper that the president was coming. The mayor himself was there. His arrival was talked about all the time, but no one was there for the missionary couple. Nobody. That night, the missionary said to his wife, "I can't take this anymore." "Clearly," he said, "God is not treating us properly." His wife said to him, "Well, honey, don't you think it's time you should take it to God in prayer with your feelings and see what he tells you?" So he did. He did. And he returned sometime later. And she said to him, "Well, how did it go?" He said, I complained to the Lord, and I told him exactly how I felt. No one was there to greet us. And when I finished complaining, it seemed as though the Lord has put his hand on my shoulder. And he said, "Remember, you're not there yet. You're not there yet. This earth is not your home. You're not there yet. And neither are you and I. And we are here for a purpose. God did not create us just to be here. We are here for a purpose. And you know, as beautiful as heaven is, we long to be there. If you're like me, we long to be there. You know, there's so much happening in this poor old world today, and I think we can see that it's crumbling very fast, very fast. And you and I look around, we just don't know what the outcome is going to be. We don't know. So we have to be very, very careful. The Bible said, "For by grace ye have been saved through faith, not of yourself, not of works, lest any man should boast." My friends, the way to God or the way to heaven is not by the Ten Commandments. We know that. It's not by the Golden Rule. It's not by ordinances. It's not by church membership. We can't work our way into heaven, and we can't even live good enough to get there. And I think, you know, I would be very much afraid if I could lose my salvation, what would happen? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, saved me to his family, and he just didn't save me until I did something wrong. He saved me forever. He saved me forever. They say that all religions have some good in them, and you can get to heaven if you're really sincere. And they said that they all lead to heaven in the end. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the truth, the way, and the life. He is the life source, both spiritually and eternally. Those who receive him as their personal Savior have life." So, my friends, we know that not all roads lead to heaven. I'm reading a book right now, and that's the title of it, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. But Jesus tells us that there is a narrow gate that leads to heaven. And then there is another gate. There's a wide gate that leads to destruction. It's a gate that's enticing to everyone. Don't get caught up in the hype and miss that narrow road. The real important question is, not only are we there yet, but are we prepared yet. Only one thing will soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. We need to be reminded every day that this is our temporary home, our temporary home. I know I have been talking a lot about our temporary home and reminding us that we need to make sure that we are right with God, and I'm sure that we are, the folks that are here today. But you know, sometimes we go through life and we have a tendency to forget, especially when you get to be my age. Don't get to be my age, but the Lord Jesus Christ is here. And I think that now is a good time. I think I'm going to sing a song, if you don't mind. It's an old song, and I'm sure that a lot of you know it, and it's called Remind Me, Dear Lord. So let's see if we can do this. That I love and hold dear to my heart are just borrowed, they're not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my way. So remind me, dear Lord. Pull back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hand. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I can't understand. Roll back the curtains of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. So remind me, dear Lord. That's a great song, isn't it? I love that song. I do. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love. We thank You that we don't have to have a troubled heart today.
that you take care of all of our situations, that you have promised that if we get into trouble, that you will always show us a way out. You have promised that you will always be with us, no matter what our circumstances are. You have promised that you would hold us by your righteous right hand. And you have promised that you hold us in the palm of your hand. We are so grateful. Lord, you have just blessed us so richly, and we just can't say thanks enough. But we thank you so much for going and preparing a place for us. And we thank you that we will have the opportunity to live with you forever. What a great hope we have. Father, we just thank you once again for Calvary. We thank you for our sins being taken away once and for all. Lord, we just bless you today for what you have done. Please be with our families today. We ask your blessing on them. And Lord Jesus, we just pray that as you come to take your people home, and we say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, that we would be ready to meet you in the air. We give you thanks for all these promises because they are so rich and they are so true, so true. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. We just thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for being here today. And the Lord bless you. Have a great week.